Outlawed: How Anthony Comstock Fought and Won the Purity of a Nation, by Charles Gallaudet Trumbull. Edited and read by Scott Matthew Dix. Dedicated to the memory of Anthony Comstock, fighter. Foreword by Alan Carlson, PhD.
As I write, in spring 2013, Americans await rulings from the United States Supreme Court over the peculiar issue of same-sex marriage. Social conservatives are mounting a fairly well-funded campaign to save marriage from the sexual libertines, yet are increasingly dismayed by new polling data showing that a majority of their fellow citizens and a huge majority of young adults already favor this curious moral innovation. Most defenders of the Christian moral order conveniently forget that over the last 75 years, American legislatures and courts have already given their blessings to fornication, adultery, pornography, contraception, easy divorce, abortion, and sodomy. Most of these innovations faced at the time only token opposition. The cultural line that social conservatives now defend is actually the last redoubt on a battlefield mostly lost in the recent past through indifference or neglect. All of which raises in high relief the career and achievements of Anthony Comstock. A son of old New England, Comstock was the last and finest flower of the American Puritans. Where modern social conservatives commonly split hairs on sexual questions, for example, birth control is permissible, but abortion is not, Comstock always saw Christian morality as made of whole cloth. Abortion, contraception, and obscenity were all born out of the same disorder of the soul, he reasoned, and Comstock combated them equally. In this regard, he actually resembled the early Christians facing a Roman Empire given over to rampant adultery, easy divorce, man-boy Greek love, infanticide, and abortion. The young Christian movement repudiated divorce, Greek love, and birth control, celebrated sexual restraint, and treated marriage as a sacred vow between man and woman centered on procreation. And also, like these early Christians, Comstock knew success. Regarding the suppression of contraceptives, historian John T. Noonan reports that the federal and state Comstock laws, in penalizing the trade in birth control devices and information, quote, went further than any pope or canonist, unquote. According to historian James Reed, Comstock made it dangerous to discuss birth control techniques in print. Even medical books written prior to the inauguration of Comstock's campaign in 1873 edited out discussions of birth control in subsequent editions. One volume simply left blank pages. So too regarding abortion. The record shows that between 1873 and 1877 alone, this reformer, in another historian's words, probably prosecuted more abortionists than any other person in the United States. After his 5 years of aggressive action, abortion-related advertising declined precipitously throughout the nation. Indeed, historian James Moore concludes that because of Comstock's work, quote, abortion's period of commercial visibility, which had lasted since the 1840s, was over. Almost single-handedly, Comstock also shut down the burgeoning American trade in pornography, one driven by new photographic and printing technologies. Early on, Comstock had learned that to attack a book or paper and not carry through the prosecution to success in the courts was to secure a large ground of free advertising for the offensive material. On such matters, Comstock rarely lost. In 1888, for example, he took 103 of these cases to trial with 101 convictions. In 1890, 156 cases and 155 convictions. These came on top of earlier, more local successes. The New York City Porn Library of 1872 numbered 144 books. By 1880, only two were still in print. The next year, Comstock's New York Society for the Suppression of Vice could report but 20 pounds of seized books, and a mere 25 improper pictures to be destroyed. Similarly, the Boston Society reported in 1885 that the trade in obscene books there had been substantially suppressed. Comstock's campaign for a Christian moral order continued until his death in 1915. Even in that year, President Woodrow Wilson named Comstock to lead the American delegation to the International Purity Conference, held, amazingly, in San Francisco. As one unfriendly historian concedes, of the 4,000 international purity delegates present, there were probably not two persons who did not unreservedly share Comstock's point of view. This example dramatically underscores how different, morally and politically, the America of a century ago was when compared to our own post-Comstock era. Accordingly, the reappearance of Charles G. Trumbull's biography of Anthony Comstock is a most welcome and important event. Dozens of recent volumes, authored by historians and analysts hostile to Comstock's work, have appeared in the last 25 years. Only a handful have given fair or favorable treatment to this remarkable figure in American history. Editor Scott Matthew Dix does an able job of refitting Trumbull's book for a 21st century audience. Christians will only gain ground on the contemporary culture wars as they recover the comprehensive approach to sexual ethics held by Comstock and his allies. And, as noted, by the Christians of the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries A.D. as well. Outlawed should prove to be an important tool in this new and more hopeful campaign. Alan Carlson, President, the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society.